Every day, AFA offers biblical insight on issues that others aren't willing to touch in the hopes that you'll become a world changer. That's why we're offering an in-depth worldview training course called Activate. 13 different professors teaching 18 sessions, all available online, including a printed workbook to help you apply what you've learned and one-year access to AFA streaming content to give you even more resources. Find out more about Activate and sign up today at activate.afa.net.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the program, Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today is Wednesday, July the 3rd, 2024. Happy birthday to Brent Creeley, our producer.
Yay.
Happy birthday, Brother Brent. Any words of wisdom? How old are you now?
23.
Other than not lying, which is a violation of the Ten Commandments, what is it?
38.
38. All right. Two years in your 30s left.
Yes. Yes.
So what do you hope to accomplish in those 2 years before you hit the big 4-0?
Just living.
Okay.
Just living.
Make your house
just
note.
Make the house note. Yes.
Pay your car note.
That's right.
Okay. All right. My, how your goals change.
Yeah.
When you're 19, 20, yeah. I guess when you be 23, you just want to pay your college debt off. But anyway. Well, happy birthday to you. Mm-hmm. And also it's Wesley Wildman, my son, who's on Tuesdays and Wednesdays on this show.
Yeah.
It's his birthday too, July the 3rd. Mm-hmm. He was born in 19. For those who are trying to steal his identity, I'll give you his birthday. He's born in 89. So is that?
35.
There you go. By the way, welcome, Fred.
Yeah, good to be here.
Chris.
Good morning.
So your kids are in their 40s, aren't they?
I have one in her 40s.
Yeah.
They want to feel old.
Start talking about your kids in the 40s.
That's right. And pretty soon they'll be starting to get stuff from AARP. You know, you've reached a stage.
And they'll be checking on Dad.
That's right.
How Dad's doing today.
And another
sure
one.
In the
mid-30s.
Stove didn't catch on fire at the house. Anyway, happy birthday to Brent. Happy birthday to Wesley. And maybe it's your birthday listening today. We wish you happy birthday, and tomorrow is the birthday of our country.
That's right. That's right.
So we hope everybody has a wonderful July 4th celebration. Now, our offices and studios will be closed tomorrow, so we'll have specials during the day on our radio network. And then Friday, we'll be here live for trivia. Ed and JJ and I are coming in, and Brent, we'll be doing live trivia on Friday. But anyway, big day tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, gentlemen, we all have trials and tribulations, don't we?
Oh.
Well, mine yesterday involved a snake.
Oh, no.
Oh, that's what I said. We lived in our house for, 9 years, and our house backs up to the woods.
Okay.
And I'm talking about thick woods.
Mm-hmm.
And in the summertime, you see some snakes every once in a while, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
But usually they stay away from my patio. Okay. But yesterday came home. I know y'all don't care about this, but I'll tell you anyway, because it's therapy.
Uh-huh.
It's therapy to get rid of my phobia and fears, right? Mm-hmm. This is like a group. Hello, my name's Tim.
We're supposed to bear one another.
And I hate snakes.
Uh-huh.
Okay. All right, so anyway, this is 5 o'clock or so, came home, Allison and I, my wife, and this has happened twice before. And now, remember, 9 years, this has happened twice before where we found a snake, and I'm talking about a real snake now. I'm not talking about a little 2-inch snake. I'm talking about a 3-foot snake, 3-foot snake.
Mm-mm.
It was on, yeah. So, but the thing about it was, I had, and we had my little dog with me, a little 11-pound Maltese. But the thing about it is I had to let him down, And I had gone in and out of the house twice from the patio. Our patio's covered, so we stay out there a lot, even in the summertime. Mm-hmm. So I get in my car. I was going to go pick up two of my grandchildren, take them to the golf course, and Allison calls me in a bit of a mild panic. Have you left yet? No, haven't left yet. In the driveway. There's a snake on our windowsill.
Oh, dear.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So went around there, and there's a, sure enough, there's a, I don't know, I'd walk right within 2 feet of it. Mm. I'd walk right by it twice, which that's another story, because Allison says I don't know, I don't pay attention to my surroundings very well, which that kind of confirms that, right? So, because I'd pass right by it twice. So anyway, we're there, and sure enough, this snake is on the windshield. Well, when you see a snake from a distance, you don't know whether it's poisonous or not. I'm going, is that a water moccasin? Is that a, you know, what some people call a cottonmouth? What is that exactly? Because I don't want to mess with a poisonous snake.
Snake is a snake to me.
You know, what, yeah. That's what I, that's how I view the world.
Yeah, sorry, Peter.
I don't care if it's, but I mean, but you are trying to process, is this really, anyway, but you can't tell from a distance. So this snake had been on our patio, and Allison said, he's got two big lumps in him. He's been eating frogs on our patio because he had two big lumps. Mm-hmm. If it's a he, I don't know if it's a he. It's got two big lumps inside the body. You know what I'm talking about?
Sure. Yeah.
You could see it. Mm-hmm. So he wouldn't move off the windowsill. I don't know. Snakes can crawl up brick walls. Some of them can. It's amazing. I'm going like, how did he do this, you know? Mm-hmm. So he's there. So Allison, I hand her the garden hose. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And we got a powerful, I said, spray that sucker. You know, blast him. Get him out of here. So she's over here blasting that thing like a fire hose, and he wouldn't move.
Nope.
He wouldn't move. And so now finally he did fall down from the, or climb down, whatever he did. I didn't see it from the windowsill onto the patio. So I'm sitting there going, what do we do now? Because he's not moving. Usually they move. They sliver away. He didn't want to move. I think because he's ate those two frogs.
He's digesting those frogs.
Yeah, he couldn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
So anyway, went around, went inside the house, could see him out the glass, out the window, and then I got the broom, okay? Now, I know people may be laughing and saying, why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that? Okay, fair enough, but I'm getting to the end point of this, okay? There's a tragic end for this animal. So I'm pushing him with the broom out my door, with my door barely cracked, because he's about 8 feet away. I go out there and push him. Trying to push, nudge him on.
Yeah.
I'm trying to give him a chance at life. You know what I'm saying? So I'm pushing him. He just gets coiled up and rigid, and is just fangs going boom, boom, boom. But he's 6 to 8 feet away from me. He's not, within striking distance, whatever that is. So he's coming at me. I'm looking at him in the eyes, and he's ticked.
Yeah.
He's angry because I'm pushing him. Mm-hmm. He's trying to digest frogs.
Uh-huh.
And so anyway, Allison calls my daughter and my son-in-law, and they rushed down there. They lived right down the street. They came down there, and because Allison had said to me one time, get the shovel. I said, get the shovel. The shovel's pointed. I got one shot right there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, a pointed shovel.
Sure.
So I'm not doing that. I don't want to go to the hospital. You know, I'd potentially die. From a snake bite, you know.
Tim missed.
Yeah, I missed because I missed, and I would have missed. My son-in-law comes down, and my daughter, and they come down, and my son-in-law, he has a shovel that's flat. Mm-hmm. So
I was going to suggest a hoe.
He pulls a chair back, and the snake was under, and he sends the snake to be with the Lord.
Okay. He's up there in the field somewhere.
Wherever snake heaven is, that's where he went. He went boom. And anyway, it was about a 20-minute trauma. And that had happened twice before on our patio. Hmm. So now, we come home at night, it's like turn on the lights.
I bet.
Have you ever
back on the woods like that?
Yeah. So anyway, so my son-in-law he takes the snake to the back of the fence in our yard to finish the story. Mm-hmm. And he's over there, and my daughter's saying, throw him way, way over there. You know, I don't know, in case he's not dead. I don't know. But he was dead.
Uh-huh.
But I said, yeah, you throw him. You keep walking. You throw him in Alabama. Because I want that snake as far away. I don't care if he's dead or alive. Get that snake away from
Casey has.
Now, let me ask you this.
Right.
Do you have snakes in Nova Scotia?
Rare. There are some that you see in the summertime, but very.
I think it was a chicken snake, by the way. We figured out it was a chicken snake. Some people call it a rat.
Big though, yeah.
Some people call it a rat snake, but they're not. They're not venomous.
No, but they'll scare you.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they look ugly.
They will bite you, or they, you know, if it comes to it.
You ever dealt with that?
Yes, I had a neighbor named Jerry. We moved to our place right as like COVID was just happening.
Wait, you need to say, hello, my name is Chris, and I hate snakes.
Hello, my name is Chris, and I definitely hate snakes.
Okay, thank you. This is our group therapy
here.
Yes,
in my opinion, a good snake is a dead snake.
Okay.
Anyway, we moved to our new place right as like COVID was taken out and people were, doing the whole distancing thing and not speaking to one another or whatever. Well, I was outside one day. We had just moved. We hadn't completely unpacked everything. And I saw a snake on our porch. So I signal over there, and I'm like, hey, brother, because I don't know his name. And I said, do you have something to get rid of a snake? And Jerry came over with a hoe.
Talking about your neighbor?
Yeah, yeah. And that's how we got to know one another was I had a snake on my porch, which he
came over with a hoe?
He came over with a hoe.
Like just a normal little 6-inch?
A garden
inch?
Hoe, yeah.
Okay.
Which has the flat edge similar to the shovel that
we'll got a shot with that.
Yeah, so he came over and got rid of it. And it was a chicken steak, we later determined. But, yeah, it's big.
I had a water moxen on my patio 3 years ago.
That's not good.
That joker was 3 feet long and thick.
Now, that will kill you.
Yes.
And I didn't know he was there until I turned on the – I had been – he was underneath the table when I was standing at the table. And then I go in and come back out, and he's coiled up in the corner over there. So,
yeah.
I don't – but only three snakes – I say only three snakes in 9 years, so –
But living in the country, that's right. Going to be part of it.
Yeah, when you're backed up to the woods like our house is, that's going to happen.
We have relatives down that live outside of Jackson, and they have a pond on their property.
Yeah.
Very common.
Water moccasins.
Oh, yeah.
Water moccasins. Now, let me ask you this. Do you guys know anything about the, they say cotton, mothballs work, but you know anything about this, Brent?
I've heard that before. You know,
mothballs. Y'all have heard this?
No.
Mothballs work. To keep snakes
something
away.
Something about the smell.
Okay. Yeah, that's what people
strong.
Tell me.
Yeah.
I don't know. Huh? But I mean, I would just think they would disintegrate in water.
So
it rains on them.
You're going to line your patio with
I don't. Well, you know, you get paranoid. Now I'm just thinking like, huh?
Especially, yes. You know, coming home at night, like you say.
Coming home at night, if we go in through our patio.
If you're anything like me, you'll have a heebie-jeebies for a couple of days, second-guessing whether or not there's another one there lurking.
That's what I'm saying. That's what snakes do. They lurk.
Yes.
All right. So that's 15 minutes. Few people can never get back with Tim's snake story, but that's the latest. But that happened. That other snake, that water moccasin I talked about, he left.
Oh.
He slithered out.
Okay.
He left. When I went around the corner, we went back inside. Humans were gone. He took off, so I didn't have to kill him.
That was interesting.
But anyway. All right, there are snakes in the grass in your life, people.
Yeah, that's right.
That's the moral of this story. You need to watch out for them.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Chris, who's got the first story today?
It's me. Have this on our website. Huge story yesterday, and probably not the last time we're going to talk about it. A federal judge in Kansas yesterday put a stop to enforcement of President Joe Biden's transgender agenda in 4 states and a patchwork of places elsewhere. U.S. District Judge John Brooms suggested in his ruling that the Biden administration must now consider whether forcing compliance remains worth the effort. Brooms' ruling was the third against the Title IX change from a federal judge in less than 3 weeks, but it's more sweeping than others, and I say that because this ruling in Kansas also applies in Alaska, Utah, and Wyoming, which also sued over the new rule. And get this, it also applies to a Stillwater, Oklahoma middle school that has a student suing over the rule, and to members of 3 groups, one of which is Moms for Liberty, backing Republican efforts to protect females from men who claim to be females participating in girls' sports or wanting to be in a girl's bathroom. I've got a statement here from one of the ladies at Moms for Liberty. It's actually both of them, Tiffany Justice and Tina Deskovich. They said, gender ideology does not belong in public schools, and we are glad the courts made the correct call to support parental rights. We will always stand up for the rights of parents and the protection of children, All parents must have their voices heard, and their right to raise their own children is part of the very fabric of a free America. Very timely statement given tomorrow's Independence Day. And they went on to say, the federal government has no right to claim our children as their own or to push parents out of the classroom. Again, you can read this at AFN.net.
Right, this is great news, folks. Absolutely. If you're looking for some great news today, this is a federal judge, right, in Kansas?
Yes.
Yes.
And he has stopped, he has halted Biden's wicked plans to force states to promote transgenderism in their schools.
Mm-hmm.
Letting boys on girls' sports teams, telling boys they can go to girls' showers and pretend like they're girls.
Even overnight, like field trips.
Yeah. All this insanity that Biden wants to push and the extreme liberals want to push. This federal court said, no, wait a minute. You can't. We're going to put a stop to this. Now, I don't know where this will ultimately end up. But good for – who was the organization that brought the –
Moms for Liberty, Young America's Foundation, and one other group whose name escapes me at the moment.
Yeah, this is reality that basically is finally overcoming left-wing ideology. That's what's going on here. We have talked about this over the last year or so, especially in that parents, mom and dads, even those who might want to vote Democrat, mom and dads are concerned about the welfare of their daughters. Mm-hmm. Because you're letting, you know, what Biden wants to do is let a big guy, muscular big guy, who all he has to say is, I feel like a girl, I can play on the girls' teams.
Right.
And they're hurting girls.
Absolutely.
Physically, we're talking about this. And these parents, even though they may be liberals in their political outlook, they don't want their daughter going into the female bathroom and then being approached by a guy.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
I mean, this, like I say, this is reality finally coming about. And you know, we've talked about this ever since Joe Biden became president and his left-wing ideology was put in place. This has been one of the big, big issues for parents out there who have daughters.
Yeah.
And anybody around this table who has daughters, you're going to stand up and you're going to fight for this. And I think it goes back to Virginia. Remember that incident at the Virginia schools where this guy goes into the washroom and then sexually assaulted a young lady there? And what did the school board do? Mm-hmm. The school board shifted the guy to another school district. And then the parents spoke out about it, and Joe Biden's Justice Department referred to those parents as domestic terrorists. You remember all that?
Oh, yeah.
Under this attorney general? Now, listen, I think the American people have had enough. This is a great victory.
I will say, too, that earlier this year when the Department of Education said, you must do this or we're not going to give you federal money, they announced these changes before the lawsuits were filed. A number of attorneys, including Sarah Parshall Perry at the Heritage Foundation, warned us that even if you have a child in Christian school or a private school, you should be concerned about this because even Christian and private schools will take something like federal assistance for lunch money. So even those schools have to comply by this under the government's expectations. So don't think, well, my kid goes to the private school down the street, this doesn't impact me. It can and will.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is good news, even great news. And we'll keep you. Where can people read about this?
Yes. This is on our website, AFN.net. There's a ton more information. I mean, we just had a drop in the bucket compared to what's going on here. That's at AFN.net. The headline AFN.net. Is Court rules in favor of groups trying to protect females from Biden's transgender agenda.
All right, let me just say this too. This is why this election this fall is very, very important to the future of our country. Biden has made it clear he's going to push this kind of insanity.
Yeah.
Okay. To the extent that he even knows what's going on, because there are people running the administration, and they're doing stuff, and not that Biden doesn't agree with them, but we all know what the situation is right there. Okay, Trump now, former President Trump, has said he's opposed to this, okay? And so he would put people in place in his administration who would oppose this kind of insanity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so again, if you won't, it's not necessarily Republicans versus Democrats, although there are party platforms, they do make a difference, but it's what the individual candidate believes and what they stand for. And on this particular issue, there's a sharp contrast. Biden believes in pushing transgenderism, and Trump believes in protecting the girls. Is that fair?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And that, I mean, that's fair because that's true. That's real. Okay, next story, Chris.
Well, I have plenty more audio, but I'm going to...
Plenty more audio of what?
Of another topic of which I think we'll need to spend a lot of time on. So, I'm going to do this.
Snakes?
No, it does not involve a snake.
Okay.
It does involve a 50-foot flag. There's a guy named John Beard who lives in Louisiana. He moved there a couple of years ago from the great state of Tennessee. And he was on the news today because John Beard and his son, Jaden, they have covered their home with a giant flag. It's a 50-foot flag. It was donated to them. I've got a little bit of audio from Mr. Beard here talking about it on Fox and Friends. Clip 8.
Well, the flag was given to us by a Marine veteran as a parting gift from when we moved from Tennessee down to Louisiana. So he'd given us the flag, and we had it for about a year and a half now, and we don't have a huge flagpole to put it on, and so we decided, in order to show our patriotism, this is how we were going to do it. We put it on the house. In our neighborhood, everybody loves it. Just absolutely phenomenal. There's been a little bit of pushback online about it, but you know, we just kind of think if we're upsetting the liberals, then you must be doing something right.
Very timely comment there going into Independence Day. I will share a link for this as well on our Today's Issues Facebook page, so do check that out.
Absolutely. You know, we need to promote patriotism.
Yes.
Patriotism used to be, I know when you grew up, Fred, that patriotism in your home country of Canada was stressed.
Yeah.
It was stressed in the United States. Patriotism is a good thing.
Absolutely.
And the political left in this country has been pushing this idea that we should be ashamed of our country because of some errors or some mistakes or some bad things in the past. Well, you know what? Every country can do that. Mm-hmm. You want to go, if you want to do that.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
You can still celebrate America and recognize that we've had problems in the past, like every other country has.
Right.
But thank God we've come through a lot of them, mm-hmm. and we're striving to be a country that's the best it can be.
Yeah. And I think what we have seen over the last 4 years, the far-left agenda, having the government power to impose that agenda on America, what we have seen is a pushback, mm-hmm. is a pushback against that, because people love this country. They say, yes. You know, I don't want that left-wing agenda. Right. We just talked about trying to allow guys into girls' bathrooms and play girls' sports. There is a pushback going on. You know, when I've traveled, it's really interesting. I've been in Tennessee and North Carolina in the last 10 days or so, and I see the American flag. I see a lot of Trump flags proudly being flown in all of these different places. I think people have just fed up with political correctness,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to fight back against that. Mm-hmm. And this election right now, what happened last Thursday night, I know we're going to talk about this after the break. What happened last Thursday night, I think will go down in the history books.
Mm-hmm.
It'll go down in the debate, history books.
The debate that wasn't.
The debate that wasn't. In fact, I'm reading, I know we're going to talk about this. CNN right now is quoting the New York Times. Biden is telling an ally that he'll make his decision in the coming days whether to keep running.
Yeah.
And that's just breaking news right now.
All right. And we'll talk about that when we get back from the break. Go ahead and go to break. Birthday boy. Brent, what'd you... Brent, I didn't... Trying to think, I didn't get you a birthday gift, man. But you know what? Next year, I'll get you a birthday gift. Okay, you can write that down. All right, get you a pet snake.
Do you want it dead or alive?
No. All right, we're going to take a short time out right here. We got a lot more to talk about on Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Chris, Fred, and we thank you for listening. We'll be back momentarily.
A recent study reports that the rapidly declining global birth rate will lead to a major population crisis if birth rates continue to decline. Their massive support for Planned Parenthood is all part of their plan. While we may feel hopeless in the constant attack on life, there is an amazing way to fight back. When they shout abortion, we shout life. Preborn is leading the way. Every day, their network rescues 200 babies. You see, when a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears the heartbeat, a baby's chance at life doubles. The ultrasound is the secret weapon that joins a mother's heart to her child. Preborn provides ultrasounds for clinics in the highest abortion areas. Can we join hands nationwide for life? One ultrasound is just $28, but any gift will help. $5,000 will underwrite ultrasounds for the entire network for a day. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
This is today's issues. Email your comments to comments@AFR.net. Past broadcasts of today's issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at AFR.net. Now, back to more of today's issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to today's issues live radio show here, for better or for worse. We hope it's for the better. July 3rd, 2024, Tim, Fred, Chris, and we're going to have a lot of other stuff going on in the world. We're going to talk about the presidential election in just a moment. We have a summer intern. We have interns around here in the summer. Help us out. Autumn from Tupelo, Mississippi, makes it easier for her to be here. Autumn, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
So how are you enjoying your internship here?
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, you've been here since when?
May 28th.
May 28th. So, and you're going to be a junior or senior?
I'm going to be a senior.
A senior in high school. You play on the golf team?
Yes, sir.
What else do you do?
I play pickleball.
Pickleball? That's a craze. That's going on out there.
That's a growing sport in America.
I've seen it on Fox and Friends. It is growing like crazy.
It's fun.
What's so fun about pickleball?
Well, I don't really know. I mean, it's just a smaller version of tennis.
Fast, mm-hmm. Just fast? Just fast-moving? Yes, good cardio workout?
Oh, for sure.
Now, don't you kind of use badminton paddles? And it's like a tennis court.
Like badminton, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah,
to say?
Smaller than tennis, bigger than ping pong. That's kind of how I think about it.
Ping pong. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know what you, we've seen it. Yeah, it's usually, yeah. I have some friends who play it.
Yeah.
I have a fantasy team.
You have a pickleball fantasy team?
Yeah, I guarantee you there will be one.
All right, Fred, I'm just curious. You just slipped back into Canadian talk there. You called it what?
There is badminton. I meant to say ping pong. Ping pong paddles.
Ping pong paddles.
On a tennis court.
They're larger than ping pong paddles, aren't they?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
I've seen them. They've done it live.
But I'm talking about the word badminton. What did you say?
Badminton.
Yeah. He's from Newfoundland. That's how they say it.
Is that how they say it up there? Are you talking about badminton?
Mm. Yes.
Yeah.
Same thing?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Close enough.
Okay. That was a unique.
We are, truth be told, Fred probably speaks a better, closer English than we do. Yeah. We especially Southerners, we phonetically pronounce things.
Right.
We draw it out.
Yeah.
Add a few extra syllables.
Get as many syllables out of a word as you can. Don't waste syllables when you got a chance to say them. So you're going on. I wanted people to say a prayer for you, because you and some of your friends and fellow church members are going on a summer mission trip, right?
Yes, sir.
When are you going?
2 weeks.
And where are you going?
To New York.
New York City?
Yes, sir. Upper West Side, Manhattan.
What are you going to be doing there?
I think we're just going to pick up trash and do some labor work in a, it's like an old Catholic church, but it's a Baptist school now.
Right.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. And kind of just clean it up and get it ready for the school year.
Okay. Oh. Any other kind of what else are you going to be doing there? Do you know?
We're probably going to go around just different places in New York City and kind of just share the gospel.
Gotcha.
Yes, sir.
Well, be safe. Got to watch your back in New York City, as you do a lot of big cities today.
Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely. All right, Chris. What's your next story?
There's so much to say about the Biden campaign.
So much to say?
So much to say. Yes.
Really?
So basically, CNN is currently reporting something that the White House is dismissing as
fake
news.
Is this breaking news, Chris?
CNN has labeled it breaking news. According to CNN, President Biden has informed an ally that he will decide in the coming days if he stays in the race. If this is true, it's a complete reversal from just a couple of days ago.
Well, that doesn't mean he's leaving. That isn't what it says, right?
Oh, no, he'll stay, whether or not he's going to stay in the race. In other words, he'll remain in the Oval Office as president until through Election Day, Inauguration Day, all that stuff. Biden is dismissing this CNN information. So in a roundabout way, Joe Biden is pulling a Donald Trump and saying this is fake news. Nonetheless, this news comes at a time in which a couple of people that ran against Joe Biden for the Democratic Party's presidential nomination have shared their thoughts that Biden should indeed get out of the race. These two people are Andrew Yang. He ran in 2020 for the Democratic Party nomination, as well as Julian Castro, who was a former member of Congress who also served in the Obama-Biden administration. Listen to what these guys have to say.
These are Democrats, right?
Correct. Clip one.
I think the Democrats would lose the House and the Senate as well as the White House if Joe Biden was at the top of the ticket. It's one reason why I believe the right thing for him to do is to step aside.
I actually don't see a path now for President Biden to stay in this race in the long term. I believe that there are stronger options out there for Democrats. We have a stable of folks that I think could do a better job. I believe that another Democrat would have a better shot at beating Trump.
So that's two people, both Democrats, that ran against him.
The House of Democrat cards are collapsing on Biden.
Yeah. You know, it's we know what has happened over the last several months. Conservatives have been blamed. Conservative news outlets have been blamed for trying to paint a false picture of Joe Biden.
Right.
That and the White House and the Democrats. Some of these Democrats who are now saying it's time for you to go, Joe.
Right.
Some of these same Democrats over the last recent months have defended Joe Biden against accusations that his mental capacities are failing.
Right.
All of a sudden, we have the debate last Thursday night, and all of a sudden, the world knows.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, they can't, the Band-Aid has been taken off. The mask has been taken off, whatever you want to say. And now the whole world knows, and I mean the whole world knows, that Joe Biden has some serious, serious mental capacity problems.
And let me just say this, too. So does his wife. In a different way.
In a different way.
In a different way. Any wife of somebody in his condition that would push him out there as a candidate for the most serious job in the world and one of the most demanding jobs in the world in terms of intellectually, physically, emotionally, all those things. I mean, you're talking about the President of the United States, you know, you have to, you're talking about, you're dealing with world issues,
yes,
not just domestic issues.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we all know he's not fit. Everybody in the world knows. That's why the Democrats are freaking out right now.
Yes.
That's why they're panicking. We all know that. And yet his wife wants to push him out there.
Yep.
And I can't figure out why exactly. Except, you know, we can only speculate. It appears like she wants to stay in the White House more than he does.
Yes. Right.
That's what it appears to me.
Mm-hmm.
What other reason would you have? Listen, fellas, what is he, 81?
Yes.
81, obviously. He looks to be in fairly good physical health,
mm-hmm.
huh? I mean, he's slim and trim and pretty.
He rides his bike. And
yeah, he exercises.
Goes to the beach.
Such like that. Why wouldn't you want to spend whatever years you have left? They have a nice life. They have in Delaware, and they got a beach home, and he's former president. Why do you want to keep rolling him out there and acting like all is well and all is normal?
Yeah.
Unless it's you.
Yes.
Who want to stay? Jill Biden wants to stay first lady.
Yeah,
and so she's going to keep promoting this.
Yeah.
How sad. We're not talking about, you know, there are lots of 80, 81 year old plus people who are out there. We're talking about the job that he wants to keep, President of the United States. I heard a good analogy yesterday. I'm not sure it was Dana Perino or one that has experience with this.
Mm-hmm.
You have in this job. You have to be ready for a phone call at 3:00 in the morning. And the president has to make a decision And this is the time frame they used, within 6 minutes, on how the United States is going to respond. And in that 6 minutes, the president is being hustled down a hallway.
No, he can't do it.
To an action room. And, Mr. President, what do you want done?
Right, it's called the Situation Room in the White House. He can't do it.
No.
He can't do it.
And the world saw that last Thursday night, and that's why the Democrats know. And this one of those Democrats in that audio we just played said, Democrats on the down ticket.
Yeah, that was Andrew Yang.
But here's the situation, though, guys. You would think he would be forced out, right? Or he would bow out. If you have a man who's nobody can make him do that.
No. Nope.
Except if you invoke the 25th Amendment,
yes.
Which would require, this is the way I understand, would require even the participation of the vice president.
Mm-hmm.
So you would have you're telling me Kamala Harris and leaders of Congress are going to get together and invoke the 25th Amendment, which lawfully forces out a duly elected president, and that's the only way you can do that? So I don't see that happening.
No.
So short of that, if he decides he wants to stay, guess what? He stays.
That's right.
And for a person in his condition, of course, I don't know him personally, and I don't see him day to day, but I just know with people who have experience with folks who are in his situation mentally, they can get stubborn.
Mm-hmm.
They can, huh?
Yeah.
They have their own view of what reality is and may not necessarily be real.
Mm-hmm.
And so if he just decides he's going to bow up and say, no, I don't care what all y'all say, I'm doing a great job. Yeah, I had a bad night debating, but and if his wife isn't there to say, honey, I'm just telling you, as your wife and somebody who loves and cares for you, it's time to step down. If she doesn't tell him that, if she's up there going, hey, you did great last night, let's keep going, don't ignore all these people who are calling for you. If she does that, then he's going to keep.
Yeah,
he's going to keep at it.
You saw the video and the post-debate little rally where she looked him in the face and said, Joe, you did such a
good
job.
Like a third grader.
You answered all the questions. And then she turns to the audience and says, what did Donald Trump do? He lied. That's the thing now. He's a weak debater, but Donald Trump's a liar. So
now, I will say, Joe Biden in his prime was a very good debater.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In his prime.
The 2012 debate with Paul Ryan, really.
He's always told lies and gaffes, but he could tell them smoothly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he could wax eloquent. So there's a reason why Barack Obama chose him at the time.
Yes.
Because of a smart guy in many ways. But anyway, we'll see what happens here. But CNN is reporting that
Biden has informed some ally that he will decide in the coming days whether to stay in the race. I'll tell you this. The media finally became the media yesterday for the first time during the Biden-Harris administration. And that's not hyperbole at all. Here now is just a taste of some of the hard questions that mainstream media liberal reporters had for Karine Jean-Pierre yesterday, clip 3.
Why can't he just come down here? The briefing room's 30 seconds away. Yeah. Why can't he come down here and assure us and the American people that he's okay?
After the debate, did the president get examined by a doctor, or did he get a neurological scan?
Is anyone in the White House hiding information about the president's health or his ability to do the job day to day? Was he okay? What happened? And we've now gone several days where he has only done teleprompter comments.
This year, the president has done more than 40 interviews. And unscripted, right? Those interviews are unscripted.
That turned out to be a lie, by the way.
Yeah, she's
just over 20. Somebody said
she. Anyway, Karine Jean-Pierre, she's a disaster.
Yeah.
She needs to resign too. She didn't have anything to work with now.
Yeah.
No.
At all. So
Pew Research has done interviews, done polling over the last several years. 90% of the reporters who work for the mainstream media vote Democrat.
Right. And they're covering the White House. They're Democrats.
If you've watched the...
Peter Ducey's about the only one who asks hard questions from Fox News, except now they've turned on him.
Yes, they've turned on him.
That's what you were playing.
Yes. And this is what was so startling yesterday. We got Peter Ducey questions from all the rest of the reporters in that news in that briefing yesterday.
May I offer a suggestion as well? It's not because they're pro-Trump.
No.
Okay. It's because the liberal establishment, including the media and the politicians and people in culture, the liberal / progressive, they're not progressives, but you know what? That's what they call themselves. They're in full panic mode. It's freak out time because they know that Biden will not win in November, and it could affect their whole party and their whole down ticket. So that's what they're looking at. So they're looking at, what do we do now? Mm-hmm. We're running out of time, if there is time left, because you got your Democrat National Convention coming up.
In about 6 weeks.
Yeah.
That's it.
The excitement level, the excitement gap, there's no excitement, no enthusiasm. Money's drying up, so it's not coming in like it should be. So what do they do? What do? They're in full panic mode. And that brings us to the next question. If he does resign, if he does step down, what then? Because Kamala Harris, the problem that under normal, there's nothing normal about this, I guess, but under normal conditions, we would have a vice president who is capable and seen as a viable by the general American public. Whether they agree, Democrat or Republican, they would go, well, at least that person is intelligent and at least they would be able to handle the job. With Kamala Harris, the majority of Americans don't see her as capable of handling the job. And so the Democrats have a real problem here, and it's self-created. Mm-hmm. Under normal circumstances, back to my original point, under normal conditions, somebody like Biden says, I'm stepping down, effective, I don't know, August 1st, whatever you want to say. So I will turn the office of the presidency over to Vice President Harris. But he can't say that.
No.
Because she has worse polling numbers than he does,
mm-hmm.
or at least as bad.
Mm-hmm.
And also, she was... This is what happens when you select people because of their skin color or their gender or any other reason other than they are the most capable and most qualified person for the job. All right? So this has nothing to do with race, as it were. That should go without saying. But I could have voted for Condoleezza Rice every day, all day. Because she's intelligent, she's capable, and she's generally conservative, okay? So race has nothing to do with it. The reason Kamala Harris was picked was Biden was pandering to people of color, or the black community in particular, and he wanted to put a woman on the ticket. So once you start talking about, I'm going to put somebody on a position of importance and their qualifications need to be what color they are or what gender they are, that has nothing to do with their intelligence or their capability or their anything relative to their job, really. But see, Democrats do that. They do that. They do the gender. They do the, what do you call it, politics. They do ideology politics. What am I trying to say? There's a word for it. There's an expression for it.
Liberalism.
But it's like they do look at those things, and they do consider those things above and beyond sometimes even the basics. So the Democrats have created this problem. Had they hired a person, regardless of their sex or their color, to be vice president, even if he was a white male who was or female or whatever, or black or Hispanic or whatever, just as long as they were capable and seen as a good, and somebody who could support the president in this case and who could step in this case, they blew it because they picked her and now they're stuck with, okay, if we get rid of Biden, then what? Do we go with Kamala Harris? No, I don't want her either. I'm just thinking out loud as a Democrat Party supporter, or I don't want her either. Okay, well, who's going to go in there and tell her that we're booting a woman of color out and we're elevating somebody else. Oh, who are you elevating? Oh, a white dude from California.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Who's going to go in there and tell her that? And then you get all the Democrat special interest groups who get upset about that. They say, yes. so you're going to boot a woman of color off who should be the VP for a white dude from California who's the governor, right?
Yeah.
Right.
That's what you're going to do? Well, that doesn't fit with their party. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So they have a big mess on their hands, and it's quite frankly fun to watch.
Yeah.
As a political observer and somebody who's a conservative. Go ahead, Chris.
Well, to your point here about...
And there were a lot of points I made right there.
Well, talking about Kamala, Steve uncovered this. It's an article from The Telegraph, which Yahoo News published under its own website here. But the headline from The Telegraph is, Kamala Harris worried Democrats will replace Joe Biden with white candidate. It says, Kamala Harris's team is concerned that Democrats will install a white candidate ahead of her to replace Joe Biden, arguing that it would be, quote, offensive to black voters to overlook her should the president stand aside.
Yeah, see what I mean?
And Trump, who has not officially named a running mate yet, still has the opportunity to put somebody out there like a Byron Donalds or Vivek Ramaswamy, a person of color.
Yeah. See, I don't think Trump shouldn't pick somebody based on their color either.
It should be the content of the character and never what they look like.
And are they capable? Are they intelligent? Do they have a good set of morals and values? Yeah.
Can they run the country if, God forbid, I can't?
Yeah. Nothing is going well for the Democrats right now. And like you say, it's of their problems are of their own making.
Yeah.
They should have had this discussion about Joe Biden 12 months ago.
Yeah.
Instead, they decided to push forward. They thought that Trump, with all his legal challenges, we'll put it that way, that Biden was going to win easily.
I tell you what Republicans should hope for right now. They should do everything they can to keep Biden in the White House.
Absolutely. Yep.
Speaker Johnson put that a resolution today. We love you, Joe.
If somebody asked him to join in on getting him out, I would say, no, I can't do that.
Yeah.
I don't know, forcing the elderly. I don't. That'd be elderly abuse, right? I'm forcing him out of a job because of his age.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? And this is not beyond the stretch of possibilities. You know, Donald Trump coming out somewhere in one of his rallies, and say, "Leave poor Joe alone."
Yeah. Well, he may do that. He may do. Listen. In all seriousness, I do think he needs to step down and be replaced.
Hmm.
Politics aside, for the safety and security of our nation. In this moment, we have a lot of enemies around the world: Iran, China, North Korea. There's geopolitics that we're involved with all around the world. It's important that we have a president that's engaged, Democrat or Republican. You can't be idle-minded like Biden is right now, or just adrift in la-la land. So can't be doing that. And so for the safety of it's a serious issue.
Yes.
We need somebody else in there.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, politically, if I'm the Republicans, I'm not going to try to help save Biden, because he is, if things don't change somewhere dramatically, he's going to lose to former President Trump. Because the swing states, I looked at the Real Clear Politics. I look at this almost daily. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm. Sure, yeah.
Okay.
I'll post a link.
Where is that? I used to have it. Let's see, pardon me while I look this up real quick. Okay, Real Clear Politics. For those who don't know, Real Clear Politics is it's a website. It's a good website. I enjoy going there. It's a conglomerate.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the right word, Fred?
Yeah.
It's a conglomerate of polls.
Yeah.
So it's not just one poll.
Mm-hmm.
It's a conglomerate of putting all the polls together.
Day by day.
Day by day.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been tracking this for a few months now. And it's trended about 6 to 8 weeks ago, and it really hasn't changed much. And that is in the swing states where our national election will be won or lost.
Mm-hmm.
We all know how California is going to go, and we all know how Mississippi is going to go, just for example, of course. I'm just saying that we know red states, we know blue states, and then there's the purple states. That's where the race is won and lost. In those purple states, so-called swing states, battleground states, Trump is ahead almost everywhere. Minnesota, I'm looking at, you mean to just go down this list real quick? They keep Arizona, Trump up 5 points. Mm-hmm. Nevada, Trump up 3 points. Wisconsin's a tie. Michigan, Trump's up in Michigan, only 1.2 points.
But
that's big.
That's huge.
That's big. Minnesota, Biden's up 3 points. Ohio, I don't consider Ohio a swing state anymore. It's been red. Ohio is a red state, basically, especially on presidential politics. Trump's up 8 points. Pennsylvania, Trump's up 3 points in Pennsylvania. This is why Democrats are freaking out.
That's right.
North Carolina, it's not even close. Trump's up almost 7 points. Florida, he's up almost 8 points. I don't consider Florida a swing state anymore on presidential elections. It's red. It's a red state. So I'm just giving Georgia, Trump up 4. Virginia, Virginia, is Biden up 2?
Yeah.
Okay.
The attorney general there a couple of days ago said it's in play based on the economy and
yeah,
the border.
I mean, 2 points. Now, I will say this. There's a 3 or 4 states there that are, you know, basically neck and neck. But anyway, I'm just giving you an idea why the Democrats are freaking out is because Trump is ahead in almost all the swing states.
Yeah, it's a huge change from 2020.
Right.
They're seeing this as a huge change since 2022. Is what's going on. Everything that the Democrats have done, including weaponizing the Justice Department to go after Trump, everything has backfired on them.
Yeah, I think Trump, now, this is not taking anything away from Donald Trump as a candidate or his presidency, because I think, for all in all, he did a very good job as President of the United States. And I'm no fan of his personality. I think that's well documented.
No.
But separating his personality from his policy, he's winning on policy.
Yes.
Okay, that's why people, and you got a binary choice there. But also, Trump is greatly benefiting from the collapse of Biden because you only got one person left.
Right.
So as bad as Biden did in the debate, doesn't mean that Trump did great, in my opinion. It means he did good enough to win because the other guy is so bad.
That's right.
We'll be back in 5 minutes. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.